Hello everyone, and welcome back to F1 Lights Out. I'm your host, Michael Lang, and we have the first race of the 2018 season in the bag. The Australian Grand Prix was this morning, so spoiler alerts, if you're listening to this and haven't watched the race, get out there, watch it. Watch the qualifying. It was an excellent qualifying session yesterday, on which was a Saturday at the time of recording this, and we had an interesting race. There was some interesting bits. The first half was definitely more interesting than the second half, but lots to go through today. So I've got my notes here that you'll hear me going through. So I'm going to start with qualifying. And then we'll go on and talk about the race a bit later on. So to start off with, as we discussed in the last episode, tyre choices for the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne were the yellow soft tyre, the red super soft, and the purple ultra soft. So those were the three tyre compounds that the teams could choose from. Of course, the teams have to run two of those compounds during the race, that they get to choose which ones they want to go to. So that's quite key when it comes down to qualifying, and I'll talk a bit about that as part of qualifying two, because that's really where it starts to come into play. Qualifying one was very much just a taster, I think, of what was to come. There had been, I think, some damp conditions in free practice three, which was in the morning, so the track lost quite a bit of its rubber from the previous races and the practice sessions from Friday, which meant that some of the times weren't quite up to where you would be expecting them as a part of qualifying. So that was something that came through later on in the session, and you could really tell with about 5 minutes to go in qualifying one that the track started bedded in, some of that rubber grip started coming to the drivers, and the times started getting quite a bit quicker. So there was a lot of chopping and changing, especially at the back of the field, for those spots. Now, for those of you that are new to qualifying, I'll just explain. In qualifying one, we're basically looking to eliminate five cars from at the end of qualifying one. So you have that drop zone of the last five cars, and you want to get out of there, of course, to proceed to qualifying two. So it was interesting. There wasn't really much to talk about. Vettel maybe got held up a bit by the Williams, but I don't think it really affected his lap too much. Raikkonen was definitely setting the early pace going on, but like I say, once the track started to get, you know, once the track started bedding in with the rubber, Hamilton, you know, came to the forefront. At the end of qualifying one, we had Hamilton in first place, Raikkonen in second, and Vettel in third. The drivers eliminated at the end of qualifying one were Hartley. Well, actually, I'll go from the bottom. So the bottom, you had Gasly, then Sorotkin, Leclerc, Ericsson, and then Hartley. Those were the drivers eliminated out at qualifying one. And I'm just trying to find, if I can, some information on qualifying. Let's just get some details. Yeah, so you had, I'm just trying to find where everybody ended up in terms of qualifying one. So Hamilton did a 1:22.824, Raikkonen a 1:23.096, and Vettel a 1:23.348. Like I say, Gasly was end of the pack on a 1:25.295 for the Toro Rosso. So in terms of teams going out in qualifying one, you had the two Toro Rossos out, that's Hartley and Gasly. You had the two Saubers out, Ericsson and Leclerc, and you had one of the Williams for Sergei Sorotkin. So that was the end of qualifying one. Then qualifying two. Now this is where it gets interesting, and I'll explain why. Because if you're at the back of the field, anything from position 11 down when you start the race, you get to choose which tire you want to start the race on. So you want to be basically going out in qualifying to get your best qualifying time. That's usually using the fastest tire, which in this case was the Ultra Soft, because the Ultra Soft is grippier over a shorter distance. So you'll often find teams using the Ultra Soft in qualifying because it gives you the best grip. It doesn't last as long as some of the other tyres, but for qualifying, you only need that one, two fast laps, and then you go back into the pit lane. So what happens, though, at qualifying two is if you end up in the top 10, which is qualifying three. So again, in qualifying two, we're looking to eliminate a further five drivers, and that will lead us with a top 10 shootout in qualifying three. So if you go in to the top 10 shootout, you actually start the race on the set of tyres you set your fastest time in qualifying two. Now, the reason this is interesting is because it gives you an indication of what teams' strategies are for the race. Now, the reason I say this early on is because Ricciardo and Verstappen for Red Bull, who pretty much, unless something happened, were guaranteed to get into the top 10 shootout, they both came out on the red Super Soft rather than the purple Ultra Soft. Now, what this gave the indication was that for the race, they'd then be looking to go a bit longer in the first stint because their tyres would last a bit longer because they're not as soft as the Ultra Soft, potentially changing up pit strategies and trying to do the overcut where you stay out longer. You try and put in some banker laps whilst other people have pitted, and then when you go in pit, you come out ahead of people. So that was an interesting thing to see, because everybody else was coming out on the purple Ultra Softs. Ricciardo and Verstappen both came out on the red Super Soft tyres in qualifying two. What other things did I see? I noticed Hülkenberg. Hülkenberg had a big lockup down into turn one, but that didn't actually affect it affected that lap, and so he only got one lap in afterwards, but it didn't actually affect his position. He got through to the top 10 shootout. McLaren started to look a bit better, although unfortunately both McLarens did end up going out at the end of Q2, but at the top positions of the eliminated teams, if that makes sense. You had Alonso in 11th and Van Dorn in 12th, but there at the start of Q2, they definitely seem to have a bit of pace there, which was a good sign. So, like I say, Hülkenberg had a lockup, and I think Ocon had a lockup or some other incident, because at the 5 minute slot for Q2, neither Hülkenberg or Ocon had set a time. And then, interestingly enough, I noticed that Lewis came out ahead of Bottas in the run for the second run. Usually in these qualifying sessions, the drivers have two runs at a time, because you have an out lap that you have to get around the circuit. You then have your fast lap, and then you have your in lap where you've got to come back in and get to the pits. And it basically leaves you, and you don't want to be staying out. Sometimes you'll see in races, they have to do one lap to bring the tyre temperatures up to the level that they need to be at, and then they do their flying lap. More often than not, you'll just have one flying lap, and then it's back into the pit. So you usually have two windows to do your flying lap. So you'll see one at the start of the qualifying period and then one right at the end, where you're frantically trying to keep up with everything that's happening. So when they came out for their second run, I noticed Lewis came out ahead of Bottas, which was important, because for qualifying, it's all about track position. You don't want to get held up. You don't want to be coming out too early, coming round on your flying lap, and then get caught behind somebody that's on their out lap, who's going slowly, could potentially get in your way. Although you're not allowed to obstruct somebody on a flying lap, you can get a penalty if you do that. But sometimes sometimes there's nowhere to go, and it can just affect, you know, a driver, even if they're not in the way. Just having them there, you know, it can be the difference between pole position and second, you know. So track position is key. And what we actually saw in qualifying two was Vettel came out on top. Vettel had the lead in Q2. He had the best time of 1:21.944. And then it was Hamilton second, and actually Bottas third on the timing sheets for qualifying two. Those eliminated were the two McLarens, like I say, Alonso and Van Dorn, 11th and 12th. You then had the Force India of Perez, the Williams of Lance Stroll, and the Force India of Esteban Ocon. So through to the top 10 shootout, qualifying three were Hamilton, Raikkonen, not in order, but Hamilton, Raikkonen, Vettel, Verstappen, Ricciardo, Magnussen, Grosjean, Hülkenberg, Sainz, and Bottas. So some good early pace by the two Haas cars, Magnussen and Grosjean, and also the Renaults of Hülkenberg and Sainz. So we'll go into the qualifying Q3. Hamilton was out first on the ultra soft. This was interesting because Hamilton came out first, and then we have Bottas coming out. So Hamilton was on his fast lap going round. Bottas came out after Hamilton. Hamilton started his fast lap, and then when Bottas started his fast lap, there was a huge crash at turn two, at the wall of turn two. Now, basically, what had happened was Bottas, I think, had just clipped the grass on the exit of turn one, on the left side of his car. He just got the wheel ever so slightly on the grass. It put him into a spin coming into turn two. He went across the track and smashed really hard against the wall. The back of his car looked to be some quite significant damage, so much so that the qualifying session was red flagged, which basically means the race or the qualifying is suspended. And that scuppered Lewis Hamilton's fastest lap, because he has to start, he has to slow all the way down and come back into the pits. Now, luckily, well, I say luckily, the Bottas' crash was early enough on in the 10-minute window, or the 12-minute window, sorry, not 10 minutes, the 12-minute window, that they still had enough time to do two banker laps, which was interesting. And when we came to that first set of banker laps, it was so close between the top three cars. You had Vettel, who set two purple sectors in the first two sectors of the lap, but still 300ths behind Hamilton, and I believe Raikkonen was a further 300ths or something behind Vettel. So very close together, those top cars, and it was looking like a real fight. Then there was also a weird incident where Grosjean seemed to be tussling with a Renault in the pit lane. I think what had happened was that Grosjean came out for his final stint, and then a Renault came out just ahead but didn't go, so Grosjean went around him, and I don't know if he really should have done that. It was weird, but I saw it on TV, and it was slightly strange, but it happened. And yeah, so the final banker laps, what can I say? Hamilton absolutely nailed it. One of the finest qualifying laps you'll ever see in your life. He was 6.5 tenths ahead of second place Kimi Raikkonen. It was an astonishing lap by Hamilton to claim pole position. It was a 1:21.164 to Raikkonen's 1:21.828. And then in third place, you had Vettel of a 1:21.838. So only 1/100th behind Kimi Raikkonen. But it was Raikkonen ahead of Vettel to clinch that second spot. Fourth was Max Verstappen, ahead of his teammate Danny Ricciardo. Then you had the two Haas drivers, Magnussen in sixth and Grosjean in seventh, followed by the two Renault drivers, Hülkenberg and then Sainz. And of course, Bottas with the crash, classified as 10th, but it actually turned out he needed a new gearbox, which when you see the state of the car after the crash, he was lucky to get away with just needing a new gearbox. So he had a 5-place grid penalty handed to him, which meant he would start in 15th. And also something to note, which I should have noted at the start, Ricciardo from the practice session, there was a red flag in one of the practice sessions. He reduced his speed significantly, but not quite to the delta that was necessary under the red flag situation. And therefore, the stewards before qualifying had handed him a 3-place grid penalty for that. So although he finished Q3 in P5, that would mean he would be demoted down to P8 for the start of the race. So it was a very interesting qualifying. You know, you had the likes of Mercedes, Ferrari and Red Bull all quite close together. Haas with some very good pace early on, and also Renault. And like I say, it was interesting to see where McLaren would be in the race, given that they had a fairly good showing for their first race with Renault. So we get to race day, which was this morning, an early start. I didn't watch it live, I actually recorded it and then watched it a bit later on. So this is your starting grid for the 2018 Melbourne race. You had Hamilton on pole with Raikkonen alongside him. Then behind them were Vettel in third and Verstappen in fourth. Magnussen and Grosjean for Team Haas were in 5 and 6. Then Hülkenberg in Renault. Ricciardo in 8th, splitting the two Renault drivers with Sainz in 9th. Alonso then in 10th, of course, gaining from the fact that Bottas has been demoted by 5 places. So Alonso up to 10th with Van Dorn in 11th. Perez for Force India up into 12th, and Stroll up into 13th. Ocon then in 14th, and then Bottas in the Mercedes down in 15th place. So it's going to be a damage limitation for Bottas in this race, really. You then had Hartley, who is in the Toro Rosso, Brendan Hartley, followed Ericsson for Sauber, and then Leclerc for Sauber, Sorotkin for Williams, and Pierre Gasly for Toro Rosso in 20th. So that's your starting grid. We had the formation up, and then we start. Luckily, everybody gets through turn one. Turn one has been the scene of some quite big crashes at the start of races in the past, but luckily everyone gets through. Magnussen gets ahead of Verstappen, so Magnussen in the Haas car gets ahead of Verstappen in fourth, so Magnussen takes fourth on the start. And then we also notice at the end of the first lap that Hartley goes into the pits for a tyre change. So that was, I believe, for a strategy rather than any problems. But that was on the end of lap one. Everybody kind of filtered in. You had Hamilton with Raikkonen and then Vettel, all within a decent gap of each other. You know, Hamilton wasn't pulling away particularly. They were all still there, but you know, the field was spreading out. There weren't too many fights going on. Early on, you had Verstappen trying to get back at Magnussen, which would affect his tyre temperatures a bit later on, trying to put too much pressure on them. Of course, Verstappen starting on the red super soft rather than the ultra soft that Magnussen would have been on from qualifying two. Lap 5, Ricciardo manages to get past Hülkenberg under DRS. Of course, Hülkenberg in the Renault. So Ricciardo managed to get past him for 7th place. 6, Sorotkin unfortunately retires from the race. And we see some double waved yellows. For that, whilst his car is recovered. Lap 7, we have Ericsson, unfortunately, for the Sauber, comes into the pits to retire, complaining of a lack of power steering in the car. Lap 8, we hear on the team radio that Verstappen is complaining of hot tyres. Of course, at this stage, he is really pushing Magnussen to try and get past Magnussen, but he doesn't seem to quite have the power. Of course, the Haas is powered by a Ferrari engine. Red Bull is powered by Renault, so it's he's getting close in some of the corners, but it doesn't quite have the straight line speed to get past Magnussen. Of course, Melbourne is already quite a difficult place to pass, and I should have mentioned that there was actually an addition of a third DRS zone in Melbourne. There's not the two that I mentioned in the last episode. There's actually three for Melbourne to try and instigate some more overtaking, because it can be quite difficult at some times, and Verstappen was finding this. On lap 9, we see Bottas getting past Ocon for 13th at that stage. Where else are we? Oh, on lap 10, Verstappen spins out on turn 1. And luckily, he basically does a 360, so he's able to carry on. But he was pushing, again, pushing Magnussen so much. He wasn't actually trying to get past Magnussen. I think he was just pushing, lost it coming into turn 1. Lost the rear end, it spun around, and that basically meant that he went back from 4th down into 8th. So he let, we didn't let, but Grosjean, Ricciardo and Hülkenberg all managed to get past Verstappen at that point. On lap 13, I noticed that Ferrari was showing some good pace. They were getting both Vettel and Raikkonen were getting purple sectors at this stage of the race, and they were bringing the gap down to Hamilton, who hadn't managed to sort out a huge gap to Raikkonen, but the Ferraris were still managing to kind of just creep that down, looking for any potential benefit that they could get on the pit stops a bit later on. Lap 15, unfortunately, Pierre Gasly in the Toro Rosso was seen on slow going around slowly on the track, engine failure by the looks of it, and he ended up boxing and retiring from the race. Of course, Toro Rosso going with the Honda engine, swapping over with McLaren, so that was unfortunate to see. More worrying times potentially ahead with the Honda engine for Toro Rosso. Lap 18, we saw Raikkonen, who was sitting in second place, going in and changing onto the yellow soft tyres. So he was on the ultra soft from qualifying and went straight to the yellow soft rather than the red super soft. And Hamilton, the next lap on 18, followed suit and went for the same soft tyres and rejoined the race ahead of Raikkonen. So Hamilton managed to cover off the pit stop for Ferrari and stay ahead of Raikkonen. Lap 22, a couple of laps later, we see Verstappen, who was on the red super soft, going on to the yellow soft. So it looks like teams at this stage were favouring the yellow soft tyres to get them to the end of the race. So everybody was doing on a one-stop strategy, it turned out. Lap 22, a couple of things happened. Bottas has a go on Perez, but Perez manages to just stay ahead of him to keep his position for the time being. Sainz also on lap 22 goes a bit wide, allowing, I didn't catch the turn he went wide on, but that allowed Alonso to go past into 7th. And then everything started to happen at lap 23. Magnussen for Haas had pitted on lap 20, well, end of lap 22 it must have been. And then on 23 we see him stopping, or going slowly and then stopping, complaining of suspension failure. Oh, that's what the team have said has happened. And actually what turns out is during his pit stop, the left rear wheel was not properly attached. His pit stop, unfortunate. An unfortunate incident, but he was released. There's a lot of automatic systems that happen in the pit stops in F1. It's so quick, the automatic light goes on and the car goes away, and you could see in the replay of the pit stop the rear left gunman who has the wheel gun and does the wheel nut, putting up a cross sign with his arms to the pit wall to indicate that the wheel hadn't gone on properly. And of course, strict regulations in F1, if there's a tyre that's not connected properly, you're not allowed to carry on and try and get back round to the pits. You have to pull over, you have to stop, you have to pull over your car as soon as possible in the safe position, because they don't want your car going round, the wheel accidentally coming off and hitting another driver or something. So they're very, very keen in stopping that kind of thing from happening. So Magnussen pulled over, and then 2 laps later, Grosjean in the other Haas car, same problem. This time it was, I believe, the right front. Oh, no, it might have been the right left. It was one of the right tyres. Same issue. The wheel wasn't correctly attached. I don't know what the problem was. I think there might have been a problem with the wheel guns, and maybe the air pressure in the wheel guns, which meant they weren't working the level that they need to be, and that was an issue. I'm not quite sure what the... It'll be interesting to see what the Haas team say about that, but that meant that Grosjean was out. Now, Grosjean couldn't park his car in the best position, so this brought out the virtual safety car. Now, for those of you that are new to F1, the virtual safety car was brought in to effectively neutralise the race whilst a car is being cleared out of danger. It saves a full-on safety car coming out and the whole field being bunched up. It's not quite as... It's basically saying that the incident isn't quite as bad as a safety car incident. So what the cars have to do is they have a delta time that comes up on their dashboard, and they have to stick to that delta. And it basically is similar to if you're racing a Scalextrics. You know, you're racing cars on a Scalextrics track. You are keeping the cars at the same distance from each other. So everybody has to stick to the same delta. They all slow down, and it effectively neutralizes the race. Nobody gains from it. Nobody benefit, you know, nobody gains or loses out from it. All of the cars should be in the same position as they go around the track from the other cars. Now, the only downfall for this, which was to Vettel's benefit in this race, is those requirements for those delta times to slow down does not apply to the pit lane. So at this point, Vettel still hadn't pitted. So Vettel was actually in first place at this stage, an accumulative third place because he hadn't pitted, but he was in first place. So Vettel actually took advantage of the virtual safety car. And because the race is slowed down to such an extent, it meant that he was able to bomb into the pit lane, go at the full pace you're allowed to go through the pit lane and do your pit stop and out of the pit lane. And it actually meant that he leapfrogged Lewis Hamilton and Kimi Raikkonen and came out ahead, just ahead of Lewis Hamilton, back into the virtual safety car timeframes. So Lewis Hamilton didn't know what had happened. He was on the radio. He was asking, what's happened? Why did you guys not tell me Vettel was in the pits? What have I done? Have I done something wrong? He couldn't figure out, but the commentators knew straight away, because the virtual safety car limitations don't apply to the pit lane, Vettel was far enough ahead of Lewis Hamilton in second place to get into the pit lane, make the most of the speed you can go in the pit lane in comparison to what the cars were doing on the track under the virtual safety car, and he came out in front. Now, I'm not a fan of this. At the end of the day, I think if you have a virtual safety car, if the purpose of that is to neutralize the race, then that should count in the pit lane as well. How you do it, whether you close off the pit lane, because you might have cars that have damage that they need to go in and get fixed, that's fine. Whether you have a similar delta that you have to turn on as you go into the pit lane and you go even slower in the pit lane, I don't know. But it's going to be a talking point. I'm not a fan of it, but you know, you win some, you lose some. And Toto Wolff after the race was actually saying, you know, sometimes it goes for you, sometimes it goes against you. And this time it went against Lewis Hamilton. He was now in second place. And let's also not forget, Kimi Raikkonen was affected. Raikkonen was in a net second place. after his, you know, in the net second place, effectively, you know, Vettel should have gone in. Vettel wasn't putting in the times to have got him out of in front of Hamilton or Raikkonen under a normal pit stop. He would have come out behind Raikkonen. Raikkonen was doing a fantastic job, was not really under any threat from Vettel. And Vettel not only leapfrogs Hamilton into first, but he also leapfrogs his teammate Raikkonen. So Raikkonen's now back in third place. So, and then we have a safety car come out. The safety, it was obviously deemed that Roman Grosjean's car was in too dangerous a place to recover under the virtual safety car. So a formal safety car comes out. All of the teams, all of the cars bunch up together. The lapped cars are allowed to unlap themselves and get back round and join the end of the train behind the safety car. And then what we also see is Alonso also benefited from the virtual safety car / safety car scenario. And he actually manages to pick up a lot of places, and he ended up ahead of Max Verstappen in fifth. Oh, actually, he came out. So what happened was Alonso was coming out of the pit lane whilst Verstappen was coming along the pit straight under the virtual safety car. It looked like Alonso had come out of the pit lane just ahead of Verstappen, but then Verstappen came round and took the position. Now, it actually ended up under the virtual safety car. Verstappen was told to give the place back by his team. It didn't need the stewards to get involved. The team said, you need to give that place back. Alonso was just ahead of you at the end of the pit exit. So Verstappen had to give that place back to Alonso during that safety car period. Lap 32. So we've had about, about five or six laps under the safety car. The races restarted on lap 32. And to be honest, not really much happens after lap 32. It kind of settles down. You have a couple of battles. You have, of course, Hamilton battling Vettel. But Hamilton could never really get too close to Vettel. He got within DRS zone, started putting in some fastest laps. I think on around about lap 42, he was in within DRS range of Vettel, but couldn't get close enough to do an overtake. And we also had Verstappen then trying to battle Alonso for, you know, to get back that spot that he had lost, unfortunately, under the safety car stage. Hamilton's getting close, and then on lap 47, he unfortunately locks his right front and runs wide, losing time on Vettel. So that puts him back about 2 seconds. It was he lost by locking up, and that was basically it. He tried to push again to get within DRS range, but with about five laps to go, he turned some bits and pieces on his steering wheel and backed off, saving the engine. It's the first race, you've got to conserve your engines. There's no point fighting all the way to the checkered flag and potentially damaging your engine that you need to take on to, you know, following races. So he backed off, he settled for second place, allowing Vettel to go ahead and win the race. So, like I say, it was very interesting up to when the safety car went back in on lap 32. After that, it was a bit of a procession, unfortunately. But it was the race and the result that wasn't expected. You know, Vettel definitely took advantage of the virtual safety car rules. Hamilton was the faster on the day. I don't think he was under any pressure before then from Raikkonen or from Vettel. I think he probably would have won if the virtual safety car hadn't come out. But as it was, Vettel wins and gets 25 points and the early championship lead from Hamilton in second, who gets 18 points. Raikkonen in third, who has 15 points. Ricciardo fourth on 12 points. Alonso finishing fifth on 10 points ahead of Verstappen. An excellent result for Alonso and McLaren. Great to see them up there getting some more points. Verstappen in sixth with 8 points. Hülkenberg in seventh with 6 points for the Renault. Bottas finishing in eighth 8th place with 4 points. Van Dorn in the 2nd, McLaren up in 9th with 2 points. And getting the last championship point was Sainz for Renault. So the Renaults putting in a good showing, as well as the McLarens up in the top 10. The other classifications, Perez in 11th, Ocon in 12th, Leclerc 13th, Stroll 14th, and Brendan Hartley, the last person across the line, in 15th. Retirees from the race, Grosjean in 16th, Magnussen in 17th, Gasly 18th, Ericsson in 19th, and Sorotkin in his debut are back in 20th. So that's your championship leaderboard. Constructors, Ferrari, a nice early leader, 40 points, followed by Mercedes on 22, Red Bull close behind on 20, then McLaren on 12, and Renault on 7 points, I should say, sorry, and then Force India, Sauber, Williams, Toro Rosso, and Haas all to register points. So it was, like I say, an interesting race. I'm just trying to see who claimed the driver of the day. Fernando Alonso, brilliant, gets the driver of the day. Of course, started the race in, where did he start? He was in 10th position, finished 5th. Fantastic to see him getting some good points, and I hope that both he and Van Dorn can, you know, carry on that pressure. It was great to see some of these other teams with good early pace. Of course, Haas were up there before the unfortunate pit stop incidents. They were both up there, good early positions. Magnussen was up in 4th, Grosjean was in 6th, so they were both doing, you know, very well. The Renault showing some good signs, with Hülkenberg and Sainz both finishing in the top 10, and also, like I said, the McLarens both finishing in the top 10 as well, as well as the Red Bulls, the Mercedes, and the Ferraris. So that's it for this first weekend. We've got a 2-week break before we head to Bahrain. So I'll be doing a preview episode for Bahrain before enjoying, I think, is a night race over in Bahrain, or like an evening race there. So we'll be under the lights, which is always fun to see. So thank you, everyone, for joining me in what's been an interesting and eventful start to the Grand Prix season. I will see you probably the week after next for my preview episode on Bahrain, and then I'll see you in 2 weeks' time for the Bahrain Grand Prix. All the best, and I'll see you soon.